Welcome to The Human Factor. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and today we're talking about real challenges and real wins behind building strong teams. You're watching Now Media Television.
Welcome to The Human Factor. Today we're going to get real about the people behind the pressure. Leaders who face hard moments, high expectations, and hidden doubts, but rise anyway. Today's guest is Andrew McCain. He is no stranger to pressure. He's the founder of McCain Power Systems, a company that has redefined how power generation, rentals, and logistics operate in one of the most demanding industries. Andrew started his journey at Mustang Cat, earned top certifications in electric power generation, and expanded his expertise across petroleum, marine, and industrial applications before launching his own venture in 2020. So now in his sixth year of MPS, he's built a brand on resilience and innovation. So Andrew, welcome to The Human Factor. Today I'd like to talk about what it really takes to lead under pressure. Yeah, I think that a lot of people in our audience probably face these types of challenges. They want to stay strong while they're really chaotic inside and don't want to show that to their team. They're breaking down. Yeah. So can you share with us how you handle that, how you take us back to when you had to lead under pressure and what helped you from just imploding?
I'll take you back to the start of MPS. So it was COVID, right? It was 2020. I was working for Mustang Cat and they made some big cuts and I was part of it. So I was faced with, I had a 4-month-old at home. I had a wife who just actually quit her job. And so I was the lone breadwinner working as a salesman at Mustang, and they decided to go a different direction. They cut, I got a phone call on Thursday, April 9th, and I walked outside to clear my head and had to face my wife and my 4-month-old in the house. So leading under pressure, I started at the home front and I basically told them, like, we're gonna land on our feet. You know, we're gonna do, didn't have a plan, didn't have a business plan. I had kind of run some of my own businesses in the past, but really didn't have an answer of what I was going to do, right? So I think the biggest thing is just taking a step back. I pray, I ask God for guidance, and then I have to work, and I work really hard for what I have. So I think the first thing was just to take a deep breath, handle the wife with care, and then put together a plan. And in about a day and a half, I basically was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it on my own and I'm going to be successful. And so I had to be, strong on the outside. On the inside, I was terrified. But I knew that my skill set could take the company far. So I think it is having a balance of, like, you need to be a little bit scared. You know, you need to be a little bit uncomfortable, but you can't be frozen in that. You can't let that take control. So, that would be the first way that I handled, with the start of the company, major pressure.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful that you were able to take that deep breath and think like that, because that's difficult to pivot unexpectedly, and especially with that kind of personal pressure. Yeah. So congratulations to you on that. I mean, that's a good move. Well, so then mentally, you prepare for high stress situations. What happens? You have people counting on you. Now we talked about your family, but at your business, how do you mentally prepare for those stress situations when those people are counting on you too? So as you're obviously growing your business, getting more business, making sure that you can employ people. Yeah. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think as we grew, right now we have over 50 employees and 4 companies kind of under the brand. It's now my job to shield them from some of the things that they don't need to see. They don't need to see cash flow issues. They don't need to see what's going on the back end, of what's going on with the company. They just need to see that there's a leader that's willing to lead. That's my role, right? And I think that putting people in situations and a hierarchy with your team, that you have empowered them to make decisions for the group that they're leading, is super important. So my people, knowing that I care for them individually, know that I care for them outside of work, right? I want them to be successful people. And I know that if they know that, then they are going to be successful in what they do. So I think the biggest thing is leading by example, showing those higher up managers that I care about them. And I care about everybody. I try to spend time with our brand new hire that we hired to, you know, sand and paint fuel tanks, right? But I'm going to, you know, spend the amount of time with them, and I'm going to spend, you know, even more time with our higher management to show them how much I care for them, and that way that they can transcend that down to the people that they're managing. So I think that leadership starts obviously at the top, and my role on taking on a lot of that stress is to shield, you know, those higher up people from stuff, and then their job is to shield the people below them, and really just empower those guys to focus on what they're hired to do, focus on their job, wear a couple different hats if they have to. But I think that, again, that starts with me having a clear vision of, hey, this is your role as the service manager, or this is your role as the project manager, or this is your role as a salesman. Right. And then saying, you know, this is what my expectations are out of you, and I think that you can be great, and here are the things that you can do to get there. And then work with them as a mentor. That's going to transcend down, right? And if I'm at the top beating people up, making people feel bad, you know, they're not going to want to work for somebody like that. That doesn't breed a good culture. And culture to me is everything. If you have a good culture and you have a team that wants to be there, I think that's gonna solve a lot of the problems.
Absolutely. Well said. I'm a very strong believer in culture and driving, you know, those engagements with individuals and treating people like people, you know. That's to my heart. That is one of the things I think makes companies successful. Well, when it comes to habits that you could share that you use to help keep your emotions in check when making big decisions. Sometimes you probably have to make a decision that's going to impact the company or your team. How do you keep yourself, you know, in that stable emotional state through that conversation?
Yeah, I'm going to take that back to my family again, my wife. You know, early on in marriage, like you react in ways that don't end up with the best end result. And I went through a little book study with some friends and people from church. And I basically was like, man, I got to take a step back. I got to take a step away from it for a minute, not to react emotionally. And then, you know, circle back of ask questions on both sides, because things will happen where somebody's telling you something and you can just go right at, you know, a customer or a vendor or something. And there may be a totally different set of circumstances that they're dealing with or that they have sight on. And you have to understand everything from a big picture perspective. And so I've definitely learned the hard way. I've reacted very poorly in ways and had to learn from those mistakes. But, you know, I think lessons learned now, I do take a step back. I try to understand the situation, ask questions on both sides, because you're going to have emotions when you're passionate about something that you do, whether or not that's business partners that I have in the company, or, you know, service managers or anything. So I think it's my job to be that level headed person in the room, ask good questions, and it's fine to be passionate. I get mad at times, and I think that's appropriate, to lead in that way. But you definitely have to, do it in a way that is, calculated. You can't just go off the hinges and rip right. everybody, and then, you know, again, that doesn't breed a good culture. Yeah. So
that yeah. is not that is doesn't yeah. But sometimes it's hard, you know, depending on what's happening. You know, there's emotions coming, like you said, from both sides. So sometimes it's hard to smooth that out and have that conversation without things being a little tense or you know, saying things that you don't mean to say at that time in the heat of the emotions.
Absolutely.
Well, we all know that leaders can feel like they're silently drowning under pressure. So what advice do you give to them to, you know, to cope with that, you know, as far as, because they, you know, you take this on, right? So you have a lot of all the different things going on in your mind, and and you might be feeling overwhelmed, but you don't want to display that. So what kind of advice would you give leaders to kind of cope with that overwhelming feeling?
Yeah, I think we all need something outside of our work. You know, as owners, as business owners, there's no one to preach up to. There's no one to complain up to. So sometimes you do feel like you're on an island. You feel like you're, in your words, drowning a little bit, which that's normal. But I think it's also normal to be associated with other people that can share in those pains and suffering, and to know that you're not alone in those struggles. Every business person, it doesn't matter how good on the outside that it looks. You could be posting and looking, oh, y'all are killing it on LinkedIn or whatever. Behind the scenes, man, it is hard. It is hard work, and you have to be willing to put in that work every single day. And so I think for me, I have a group of men that I meet with, they're a workout group and a group outside of that we meet with, that we share our struggles. We go on runs and rucks and work out together, and then just outside of work, just talk about, man, this is what I'm struggling with. And they just encourage me as just a man, as a person, as a husband, as a Christian. And you know, I think for me and all leaders, they need something. They need a CEO group that they meet with. They need a woman's, you know, small group. They need something that is encouraging them, you know, in a ways that you just can't get at your work. And so I think if you're fulfilling yourself outside of work, you know, that's going to transcend into what you do on a daily basis.
Yes, I agree. Outside groups, conversations are very helpful to vent, to you know, compare situations, not feel like you're on the only one going through that type of thing. So absolutely. Well, this has been very insightful. For those who want to learn more about your work or connect with you online, where can they find you?
Yeah, just Google McCain Power Systems or go to McCainPower.com. They can find everything about us. We rent, sell, buy. We have logistics. We do engine services, generator services, all Houston, greater Houston area. But we got guys all over the place. We have field service. We do jobs all over the United States. So, go to McCainPower.com and look us up.
Wonderful. Well, we'll take a quick break and stay with us because we're coming back to talk with Andrew some more.
We'll be right back with more stories, insights, and real-world strategies for leading with purpose. This is The Human Factor on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and you're watching The Human Factor on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into today's conversation.
Welcome back. We're still talking with Andrew. Andrew McCain is power systems expert, business owner, and bold change maker. He's challenging what's possible in one of the most traditional industries out there. In this segment, we explore what it takes to bring real innovation to systems that are often resistant to change, and then how to lead others through that evolution. You know, Andrew, I thought it would be good to talk about people and their challenges with old, slow, outdated work processes, systems. How have you gone about challenging the status quo in your industry, you know, in power systems? What have you done that's, you know, or brought to the surface that we can share with others?
Yeah, I kind of make the analogy, like everybody in most industries, they're on a NASCAR loop, right? They're going left. Let me turn left. And I've just always turned right. Very early on, right? It was just me. I worked out of my little house in Old Katy, and I was in a spare bedroom and working in on one of those plastic fold-out Costco tables. And it was the middle of COVID. Everybody's working from home, and the streets are dead, and, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, I lost my train of thought. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We're just chatting through, you know, how you change the status quo in your industry. People are always doing the, you know, they continue to stay in the same space and they don't step out.
There you go. Everybody keeps going on that NASCAR loop and turning left. And, I made decisions very early on working just in my spare bedroom at our little three-bedroom house to, you know, do things for customers and put them first in a way that provided for my family and my company, but also made it a win-win. So, I think that keeping your eye on and making your goal is to be as profitable and make as much money as possible, I think you miss a lot there. I think that what has made us different mm-hmm. is do the right thing, treat people right, mm-hmm. the money comes, right? And I would say that right. most of the things that I've made on a business decision side has been more for, let me leverage myself against a downturn here, right? I don't want to just buy and sell equipment. I want to have a service mm-hmm. arm. I want to have a rental arm. I want to have a logistics arm. And that was just a strategic, smart move of like right now, market's pretty slow on buying and reselling, but service and rental is going great. And if we wouldn't have done the hard work early on building that, we'd be in a tough position there. But in terms of what I think that we've done differently is everybody sees these dollar signs everywhere, especially when you hear power. Right now, there's not enough power. So rental and generators right. and backup and microgrids are like data centers, key buzzwords. Man, the money comes when you do the right thing, you treat people the right, and you have that return business. I think that's what has made us different than most people in this industry is the money comes, man. Just do the right thing, treat people right. Mm-hmm. Get a good name out there. You have one name. I put my name on my company not thinking that it would grow to what it is. I thought that people would be dealing with me. And I wanted people to know that culturally, when you deal with me, like you get, I'm a man of my word. I'm going to do what I say what I do. And mm-hmm. if I got that wrong, say what I, whatever. I'm going to
do what you
gonna,
say what you do.
Yeah. You're going to deal with me. Right. And the people that we brought on share that culture. They share that pride of treating people right and doing the right thing. And with that comes money. With that becomes profitability. And I think profitability there's so many things that makes you more profitable with being a company that treats people good, treats people right, treats not just your employees right, but your customers as well. Not looking at them as dollar signs, looking at them as partners that you're doing stuff with, not for.
Yes, that's wonderful. That's a good approach. And I think that goes a long way. I agree with you. If you don't focus on just the money is important, obviously, because you need to keep the business running. But it's much more important to be good to your customers and good to your people, because it just will naturally come. Well, absolutely. What kind of a resistance have you faced trying to do things differently?
Honestly, I think there's always going to be haters out there. There's going to be people that are like, man, you how'd you do this so fast? Or we've had such success in 5 years, and I think that it's actually opposite of that. I think people are attracted to how we're doing things and kind of asking a lot of questions like, hey, how did you do this? How did you, I'm like, I'm not any, I'm not special. I just work really, really hard. It was actually my first trip that I went on right after COVID. I called this old timer that's still in the business. He's like 85 years old, and he answers the phone, and I said, man, what makes you different than everybody else? Like, what can I gain from your 50 something years of knowledge? And he said, answer the phone. That puts you in the top 10%. And I said, answer the phone. He's like, and then if you miss the call them back in a timely manner. And he was like, that'll put you in the top 10. And I was like, there's no way. And he said, I promise you. And I have not let that fail. Like, I'm like, I answer the phone. And if I miss you, which I do more now, because I got so many, rods in the water. Yeah. Getting pulled in a lot of different ways, but man, just take care of your people, answer the phone, call people back. It will put you in that top 10%, I promise. And, do the little things right.
That makes great sense. And it doesn't take a lot, right? That's like a couple of simple steps that
simple
makes
things.
All the difference in how your business flourishes. And that's wonderful advice. Very nice. Well, when you have an innovation, if you want to change something or you want to introduce something, how do you get your employees and your clients and any partners, business partners on board if there's something that you're wanting to change or introduce something new?
Yeah, I think implementing change in any organization is it can be difficult. I think I've always been, you know, the one, you know, you hire people to do a job. Creating systems is hard within an organization. Some people can do it, some can't. And I have found through my failures, when I choose something, I do it and I go with it, it has failed more often than not because people are like, well, I would have done it this way or I would have done it this way. So what I've learned from that and for the last three and a half years, when I first year and a half, 2 years, when I was starting to hire people, I was doing that. I now, you know, I create a system like, hey, this is what, you know, I think is going to be best. I'll send it to everybody ahead of time. Let's meet on this in a week. Gives time people to research it, look up, hey, is this a good idea? What else would I change? And then I listen. You know, we go into a group meeting and literally my service director, you know, I had recommendation of this guy doing, one of our project managers doing every single inbound sheet, every single takeoff for both service and packaging. Well, I hired him as a packager, project managing just for packaging. And he's like, that's not a good idea. We need to have somebody specifically for service. And specifically, you hired him to do this job. And he needs to focus on that. And I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. And took that off his plate, put it on someone else's plate. And, you know, so I think that listening, putting out a plan is what people are going to look to you for. But they're also going to respect you more when you listen and you implement those changes to it. And it's a little bit easier across the board to push that change when those people know that they've had input and that you listen to them. It's not just the thumb on everybody, top-down approach. It's, all right, hey, we're going to do this, but hey, what input do you have? What changes can we, how can we make this better? And listening and then implementing those changes. I think ultimately you're going to earn way more respect, keep those people happy. They're going to find more value in what they do for you and for the company. And so, you know, I'd say that that's probably the best advice that I've had to learn the hard way on is just listen to your people, implement change with your team, and not just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And sometimes that's important. Sometimes people need that. But most of the time, you got to listen. You got to implement the change that is best for the whole, not just best for you or this one person.
Yeah, that approach, I think, gets you better buy-in, right? More palatable when they have had an opportunity to share with their perspective on it versus just saying, this is how we're going to do it. And like you said, I think you're right. There are certain cases where that's just it. It has to, we have to do it this way. There's like really no alternative. We can't sit here and, you know, discuss options. But most of the time, like you said, when you're wanting to make a change, if you get their input, it's much more acceptable and you get better team support in overall. Yeah, so I absolutely agree with that. So when you start a business, you're always, there's risks. There's things that happen. You're never sure how it's going to turn out. What's the biggest risk you've taken that led to a breakthrough for you in this venture?
Yeah, I'd say two of them were started of new businesses out of McCain Power Systems, our rental division. I was early 2022. I had some inventory. I was starting to build inventory. I was kind of utilizing another guy's yard and his service and support. But I had some stuff sitting and I was like, man, here's a really bright idea. Let me start a rental company. And so I knew that it would be beneficial down the line. And I knew that it would give us another stream of income, return, you know, revenue stream. And but it was going to be hard. And I didn't realize how hard. I had about 12 units out on rent. I was getting calls at all hours of the night. I was already running one business and now I'm running a rental business and I'm getting calls. Oh, I failed alternator. Oh, you know, this unit, they ran it out of fuel and they can't restart it. Oh. And so like from a billing standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, from a service standpoint, it became a nightmare. And I was like, I got to bring on somebody. And so, you know, I was already talking with a guy and I brought on Jason Barker as a partner. Middle of a storm that hit, I don't remember the name of the storm, but it was 2022 in October, it was a late, and we ended up putting out like close to $2 million of rental on that one job, and it just exploded from there. So, you know, it was a risk for me to do that by myself for 6-8 months. It was, you know, there was a financial risk, there was time, there was, you know, stress on your family. But man, once he came on board, I mean, he gets a piece of the pie, and he's running with it, and he runs it. We have our own controller. We got techs on that side, growing the fleet. So that was definitely a risk that paid off. So
that's great. We've rented plenty of equipment. We have property, and so we've had to do a lot of things to the property. Oh, so yeah. We've rented multiple pieces of equipment. We actually finally did buy our own skid steer, so I do know how to operate one of those.
Nice.
So it's pretty popular out here where I'm at in Hill Country, rentals. Yeah. So a lot of people rent for their properties. So
absolutely.
Good for you. Sounds like it's going well. Well, Andrew, this has been incredibly encouraging for innovators out there. Where can the viewers go to follow MPS or learn more about your approach to change?
Yeah, we're on Google. You can Google us, McCain Power, or McCainPower.com. We're on LinkedIn. You can look up McCain Power Systems, McCain Engine Services, McCain Power Rentals, and Managed Power Logistics. Those are our four companies. Love for us to be able to be a solutions provider for you. So thank you for having me on, Kim.
Wonderful, wonderful. Stay with us. We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Andrew.
We'll be right back with more stories, insights, and real-world strategies for leading with purpose. This is The Human Factor on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and you're watching The Human Factor on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into today's conversation.
So we're back with Andrew McCain, whose story reminds us that no breakthrough comes without its fair share of breakdowns. This segment is about setbacks, the losses, mistakes, curveballs, you know, things that happen, you know, impossible things in the moment, but shape the strongest leaders. They talk about resilience, how they built their business in the trenches of these challenges. So I would like to talk a little bit more about when you're feeling stuck after a failure, and sometimes it feels like you're not going to bounce back. You know, how do we deal with that? How do we move forward? And so I would like Andrew to share with us, you know, a failure in your business that actually taught you the most.
Man, I would say this isn't so much a failure, but it was something very hard that happened to us early last year. We're doing a packaging project offshore for actually ExxonMobil, and we're doing some class 1 dip 2 packages, meaning they're offshore rated. And our vendor that we were working with as a packager, their email system got hacked, and it had been hacked for about 4 or 5 months. And so we had been getting continued communication from them, but everything was getting filtered. And so it was through a hacker. And it was about 4 months after we received the PO, we finally received payment. And all these packages, they're big packages, and they're expensive. So, you know, you really don't, nothing starts happening. You don't start ordering, you don't start getting stuff until you receive the first deposit, right? And so we received the deposit, and then we cut our PO to the packager, and we sent funds. We sent over $700,000 to a hacker. It was talk about it, just a punch in the gut. We found out we did it on a Wednesday around 3:30. Luckily, banks close at 4 in terms of receiving and sending wires. We caught it the next morning before the bank opened. We had sent the funds to a bank that was in San Antonio. It was to the account. These guys went to the extent of opening an account with the same name as the vendor. They had one thing changed. It was like blah, 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 Inc. instead of blah, 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 LLC. And we sent it to that, to the account number, everything. We called, and we always call and verify the wire instructions. Somebody answers the phone and says, "This is so-and-so with so-and-so Inc. How may I help you?" "Oh yeah, we need to verify wire instructions." "Okay, let me get you in touch with AP." We verified everything, or accounts receivable, and our AP paid AR, and sent the funds on Wednesday at 3:30, and at 8 o'clock the next morning, we figured out that it was fraud. And we put a hold harmless. That was February last year. We put a hold harmless on that, and which means you contact the bank and said, hey, if that money's there, hold it. I talked to an FBI friend that I went to high school with, college with, played football with, and he was like, dude, do this, 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 and this. I went up to the FBI. Well, for a week, I didn't know if those funds were there. I thought that they were gone. In that time frame, that same day on Thursday, I called in our entire team to the office, and we have this big MPS on the back wall, and you know, I got teary-eyed and looked at them all, and I said, look, I said, this is something that rumors spread. You're going to hear something about this from somebody. I want you to hear it from me. This will not affect your job. You will not get, nobody's getting laid off due to this. This is my problem to deal with, but I want you to hear it from me. I take responsibility for all of this, and I'm going to make sure it's right. And this will not, I've done this for 3.5 years now by myself. And now it's not by myself. I got all your families to take care of. And I said, I promise I will do that. And I just went to work, man. I just went head down, started selling anything and everything I could to make sure cash flow stayed up, that I did not ruin cash flow for them. Wow. I found out a week to the day. So that happened on Thursday. We put a hold harmless. That next Thursday, I get a call. And it was from a Secret Service agent. And he was like, your funds are still at the bank, but you're probably not going to see them for 8 to 9 months. And so they did an investigation and all that stuff. So it was definitely adversity. I think that was kind of the question that you asked was, you know, a failure. That's a failure, you know. That's an oopsie. That's a, it was not easy to overcome. That limits your everything, your growth, where you could be, you know, in that same time frame if you had that. But also what I learned from that, you know, in terms of resilience and pushing through and knowing, like, if we can get through that, you know, we can get through an economy that's a little bit right now. You know, we can get through a guy that we should have probably never hired that, you know, comes on board that doesn't fit our culture, right? We can get through other issues, not meeting timelines, letting down customers, you know. But, you know, I think the one thing that stays true is just keep treating your customers well. Keep being a person. Don't let that affect the next decision that you have. Don't let that, I still fail. I tell my guys all the time, like, I'm not the savior of anything. I fail all the time. And, but I'm my vision and my goal and my job and my duty every day is to serve the people that I work with and serve our customers to the best of my ability. I will fail, but you know, I'm going to be a man of my word and I'm going to do things what I feel is the right way. And it served us well. We bounced back. We got the money back. And I think I'll, you know, if I'm not taking too much time on this, to piggyback on that, what made it even worse was the very next week. So we custom build power modules. We build those big, you know, 18-wheelers that run down the street. We build the generators that are that big, like 2 megs, 1 megs, 500s. Mm-hmm. One of those flipped. A week to the day, like literally it was like the next Wednesday, it flipped on the way over. That was an insurance claim that took until February of this year to get back. So within a week, we had two major financial hits. I mean, it's made this, you know, everything that's happened after that, you know, between last February and now, the last year and a half has been a cakewalk. You know, and we started a new company, and we're getting into new ventures and doing things, which, you know, it's very rewarding, but man, it's hard every single day. But if we can get through those things, I mean, back to back punches, you know, it's you just got to work hard. That's really it. You got to work hard. You got to call people back, answer the phone, you know, those little things. So, which is what makes, I think, the best entrepreneurs successful. They don't let that, you know, ruin them. Right. They don't accept failure. Like I don't accept someone else trying to steal what we've accomplished and you know what our team has accomplished. I don't accept that, and I won't accept failure in that way. We will fail at things. We will struggle through things, but you know, nobody's going to take or steal, whether or not it's an insurance claim, whether or not it's somebody trying to steal your money, that from us. And I feel like those are two of the biggest things that probably could have happened to us at a critical time of growth. So I'm very proud of getting through that. And our team, you know, it wasn't just me, it was my wife, man, the support there. And you know, all of our supporting administration and stuff like that.
That's a very scary.
Yeah, very scary
story. I'm glad it turned out as it did for you, because that when you said that, I was like, oh no, that would be quite a gut punch. But I'm glad that it worked out. I'm glad that you stayed the course and just continue to be the leader and do what you needed to do until it was able to work itself out. So I think there's a strong blessing there for sure. Well, thank you for your honest outlook. Those stories are often ones that help people the most. You know, people don't want to feel like, you know, they're the only ones going through potentially very challenging situations. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back for our final segment, and we're going to wrap this up with Andrew. So stay with us.
We'll be right back with more stories, insights, and real-world strategies for leading with purpose. This is The Human Factor on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and you're watching The Human Factor on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into today's conversation.
Welcome back. We're wrapping up today's episode with Andrew McCain. He's an entrepreneur, an innovator, and the driving force behind McCain Power Systems. In this segment, we want to talk about the leap, the moment when an idea becomes real. From the blueprint to the breakthrough, how do you actually build something from the ground up? You know, I believe a lot of people have ideas, innovations, things that they want to do, but they're stuck on what to do, how to take the first step. I think it would be great to share with them how you went about that, what your first steps were, and just give us a little bit of backstory on McCain Power.
Yeah. Birth of McCain Power was a little bit, I cheated, right? I got laid off, and I didn't really have a choice, right? I kind of was facing COVID. I didn't see, you know, I enjoyed what I did. I was good at what I did. I didn't see it coming. I was an outside sales rep making pretty much 100% commission and producing. So it didn't make sense, right? I didn't have a plan in place. I didn't have a business, you know, business plan. I didn't have the 5 points of what you're supposed to do and all this stuff. But, you know, I had confidence in myself of what I could do, right? And so I think with me, in terms of I cheated, I didn't have, I'm going to have this in place. I have an LLC, and then I'm going to go start a business. I think that could be actually some encouragement to people that do have a really good idea, right? That do have, hey, I'm good at this. I think I can do it on my own. My encouragement would be just find other entrepreneurs that are doing it, right? Ask how they are, you know, watch the show, right? What are their failures? What are their, you know, everybody thinks that it's always grass is greener on the other side. It's always rainbows and butterflies. It is not. Mm-hmm. And business ownership is not for everybody. There are people that maybe have great ideas that can, maybe you bring on a partner. Maybe you structure it in a way that you know, you have some financial backing. Maybe you do it in a way that, you know, you can do your current job, start this on the side until you have enough revenue there to get it rolling. You know, again, I didn't have a choice. I was forced into it. I was back against the wall, just throwing haymakers. And I had a wife that just quit her job to look at me as she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with our mm-hmm. newborn. We had struggled with having a baby for 5 years, and I did not want that, me getting laid off 4 months after she quit her job, to her to have to jump back into that. And I put that on me, like, I'm going to make this work, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do what I did. I'm just going to do it for myself. And, you know, I think I found certain ways in a certain niche in the industry, and then I've built that, and I think I built a good name based off of how I handled myself and handled my business. And now we've grown, and we've grown to do multiple different things that treating our customers well and being successful. So, I don't know if that answered the question directly, but
I think I want to, peel back a little bit. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And like first steps, like, you said you had a table in one of your bedrooms. Like, so for some people, like you said, it's, oh, I got to get an LLC. Oh, I got to get a website, you know, these certain things. But for you, was it just, I need to reach out to the people that I know and let them know I'm going to do this? Like, what was your step?
Yeah, all the above. So first thing I did that weekend, filed an LLC. I had to think about the name of my company. What do I mm-hmm. want people to know about my company, right? There's a lot of people and a lot of companies that do what I do. And there's one particular guy, I'm gonna give him a shout out. His name's Jason Brackeen, and his company is Brackeen Power Solutions. And he was a customer of mine when I was at Mustang Cat as a sales rep. And I just loved how he did business, man. It was just him. He was a man of his word, did what he said what he did. I got that wrong earlier as well. But he was just, I wanted people to have that same feeling about me as I had with him. And I had the utmost respect for him. And I said, I'm gonna name it after myself. So that's why I put my name on my company. I did not think it was gonna grow. But the first thing was the name. I put the name on the company, and I was like, I want people to know. I had to create an email address. I think a professional email address, not a Google, not a Yahoo, not a Gmail, you have a URL that you purchase, and it is at your company name. That is a professional step. You need to have a professional signature. You need to create some sort of, and it's easy with AI nowadays, create a website that gives, even if it's just a landing page, what do you do? Who are you? And then for me, we sell equipment, so inventory, different stuff like that. I started creating systems. How am I gonna invoice? How do I want, if I was gonna bring on a sales guy, like, what does this sales script, kind of look like to make it natural? Where am I gonna, what is my inventory management? Am I just gonna use Excel, or do I go out and get some sort of CRM system? So I was making all those decisions, and it wasn't in a specific mm-hmm. order. It was just kind of like guns blazing because I didn't really have a business plan going into it. But I knew the structure that I had to get. And the first thing was get myself out there, call every single one of the people. Getting on the phone is a lost art, right? If you get on the phone with a customer base and you talk to them on the phone, you will create so much more opportunities than just sending emails. And I think that a lot of what we've gotten to is, let's send emails, let's use blasts from social media and do all this stuff, which is great. You will get there. But relationships mm-hmm. and sales, if you're in sales, is based on relationships. You need to pick up the phone and get to know that person over the phone. And that's what I did. I called and called and called and just started generating opportunities. And once I started filling that pipeline, I had, probably 500-600 opportunities, before I could even, in the first 5-6 months. And that's with no marketing. That's with nothing.
Wow.
It's just getting on the phone and creating that. So wow. I think handling yourself professionally, creating a professional look of your company, email, social media presence, a website, getting a URL. Those are kind of the mm-hmm. basics. And then just work harder than everybody else. Just that's it. Like, just get on the phone. Don't be lazy.
The phone, really?
Yeah.
Somebody's actually going to use the phone.
Yeah.
Half the time people will pick up the phone these days because everything, if you don't know the number, it's scam likely.
That's it.
So, but it sounds, I know a lot of your customers, which is great. Sounds like they were very receptive to that. And that's, I don't disagree with you. I think you still need to try to get that personal touch, whether it's over the phone or a visit, face to face.
Yeah. Teams calls, like
digital.
Yeah.
So digital. Well, then how do you, what's your advice for someone starting a business on how to stay focused when they're building something that takes years to grow? A lot of people they don't really necessarily have the correct timeline in mind. Like, some people think it's going to happen overnight mm-hmm. and it doesn't, and they panic. So how do you stay focused as it's growing and knowing that it's going to take time?
I think it's great to have goals and where, hey, this is where I think I'm going to be in 5 years. If you have not read The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone, great book for just visualizing and saying, hey, you know, I want to make $1 million. No, screw that. I want to make 10 million, right? 10X that goal. And I read that early on, actually, when I changed careers to go to Mustang, and it stuck with me. And, you know, I have had really big visions and goals of where we want to go. But I think that goes back to our first segment when I talked about just doing the little things right. And when you focus on that, good things happen. If you focus on, I want to in 5 years make this amount of money, you're probably going to get let down because you're going to be focused on doing that instead of the process and the hard work that it takes to get there. If you focus on the culture you're trying to build, the team you're trying to build, the business you're trying to build, and you focus on that, the money will come. The money will come when you do the right thing, when you treat people right, when you are going the extra distance to make sure that someone else feels comfortable with your business. I think too many people take advantage or take for granted the social media aspect and just, hey, these people are sending me money. They're just going to be a company that's there for life. Well, the next guy out there that's working harder than you is going to get that business. If he's not treating that person or that company the right way, there's always another digital marketing company coming along. I get calls every day. There's always another freight company. Hey, I'm going to come. I got them calling me every day. There's always another power systems company that if they're doing it better than us, who are you going to buy from? You're going to buy from them. So my advice would be just, you know, start with the little things, have big goals, but focus on the day to day. Don't focus on, you know, your little wins and celebrate those little wins. Man, my wife the other day, she looked at me and she goes, you ever stop and just think about what you've done? And I'm like, no, I don't. But when I do, you know, I need to celebrate those wins. And it's not just for me. I think it's for your team, right? Because those people, as you grow, those are the people that are going to get you to the next. And that they're the ones that if you're celebrating them, they're going to help grow your company because there's only so much that you can do yourself. You have to be able to delegate. You have to be able to find the right people to help you grow that fits your mold. And so, you know, don't focus on the money. Money will come. If you focus on the money, you're going to be let down more times than not. Just focus on doing the little things right and just working harder than everybody else and good things will happen.
I agree with you. You do have to have a plan and goals are great, but the day-to-day is very important. If you can't always be looking that far ahead, you need to get into the immediate, you know, so that you can grow your business in the increments versus just trying to go from, you know, 0 to 100, you know, there are steps. So yeah. Thank you. That was very good advice for myself too, as a business owner.
I'll try
so this
to take
has
my own
been
advice.
Such a powerful and practical conversation. I've really enjoyed speaking with you, getting to know you. I'm sure our viewers too. So where can they find you and MPS?
Yeah, McCain Power, it's MCKAIN. Everybody spells it MCC, but McCain Power, if you Google McCainPower.com, we do sell residential, commercial, industrial grade generators, industrial pumps, chillers, coolers, ACs, all that kind of stuff. We have a rental team if you need rental. And we also have logistics and kind of engine services. So if you need field service or anything like that, visit our website, visit us on Google. We're on LinkedIn and all the social media platforms.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks again,
Andrew,
for joining us today on The Human
it.
Factor. Your story is one of resilience and innovation and courage. And it's a reminder to every viewer out there that breakthrough doesn't happen overnight. It's built one step at a time, as he was so kind to share with us. Whether you're leading through pressure, pushing for change, or trying to bounce back from failure, what you do matters. You don't have it all figured out. We all know that. You just have to take the next step. I'm your host, Kimberly Diamond. Thank you for watching The Human Factor. Remember, your story is power and your humanity is your strength.